Our reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 2, and it's found on page 1179 of the Pew Bible. That's Philippians 2, and we're going to read the first 18 verses. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I'm going to hand over now to Leslie as she brings the word to us.
Talk amongst yourselves. Good morning, everybody. All right, thank you, James, for that, and particularly thank you for that video clip. It saved me trying to find one. But I thought just those visuals of the stars, the way that they can be seen using the telescopes and things, just brings home to us how awesome God's creation is. Just some amazing pictures there. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. I love that. I love the fact that the stars are all just out there shouting about God. I grew up in cities. And we weren't a particularly outdoorsy family, so we never went camping or anything like that. And it wasn't until I was about 15 and I went on a Scripture Union camp in the Trossachs, which is an area of Scotland around Loch Lomond. And I think that was the first time that I really understood how amazing the sky can look at night, how many stars I could see out of the city away from the street lights. The summer before I went to university, I was up in Wester Ross, which is in the West Highlands of Scotland. It's the most beautiful place in the world. If you ever get the chance to go there, just go, because it is the most beautiful place in the world. The scenery is astonishing, and the night sky is just amazing. I saw shooting stars, I could see satellites, I could see the Milky Way, I could see more stars than I have ever seen before or since. I just felt so much awe looking at those stars and realizing how big the universe is. The Bible tells us that God put all those stars in place and he knows them all by name. It's that kind of detail, I think, that makes me understand just how amazing God is. He didn't just create all this stuff. He knows all the stars by name. So this verse from Philippians, it's always been one of my favourite verses. This idea that we could be like stars. We could shine like stars in the universe. So when James asked if I would preach, that was the verse that popped into my mind to work on and to preach about, to think about. So I started doing some research and some investigations into stars in the Bible, into the way that ancient civilizations looked at stars. What did the Hebrews think about them? What did, when they were wandering in the desert, what did they think of all those amazing night skies that they must have seen? I discovered this idea called the star gospel. I haven't really been able to look into it in any depth. I'm not sure how valid it is. But the idea is that the constellations actually tell the gospel story. If you look into the ancient civilizations' names for the constellations, they are actually quite similar. They tend to have the same sorts of names for the constellations. I don't know why that would be. But those ancient civilizations, I guess, passed information and knowledge between themselves. But the idea is that the zodiac, don't panic, the zodiac is just the description of the way the sun moves through the constellations. The zodiac in itself is not occult or superstitious or anything like that. It just is the way the sun moves through the constellations. Each of the constellations and the stars in those constellations, if you go back to the ancient Hebrew names, according to this website that I looked at, I have not done the research myself. If you go back to the ancient Hebrew names, it tells the gospel story. So Virgo, for instance, is the Virgin. And then there's various stars in that constellation that have other names that equate to aspects of the biblical story. Leo, the lion of Judah. Libra, the scales, the judgment. So it was a very convincing website, but like I say, I haven't actually done any independent verification of it. But I thought it was interesting that people can look at the stars and say, it's written in the stars, the story of God and Jesus and our salvation is written in the stars. So, believe it or not, I'm putting it out there. I'm not entirely convinced myself, but I did think it was interesting. And the stars have always been incredibly important because they're always there. They're always in the same pattern. Every year, they are in the same place at the same time. That's the kind of thing that people notice. So if you're living in the desert or a plain in Africa or somewhere far from any light, you've got to remember that even a generation ago, the night sky would have been much clearer than it is for us. You would notice these patterns. So as I started looking into it and having a look in the concordances to see the mentions of stars and things, I was reminded of the verses in Daniel chapter 12. About 10 years ago, Evan King did a series on Daniel, which was very interesting. It's a really complicated book. But the verse that I really liked is Daniel 12:3. It says, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." So here's another reference to us being like stars. Daniel, the book of Daniel is concerned with prophecy. So prophecy for the immediate future of the Israelites, prophecy about the time of Christ, and prophecies about the end time. And this verse comes just after a chapter where he's been talking about the rise of the man of destruction. It's all very apocalyptic. And there's verses in that that talk about the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. And then it goes on the verse that I just said. So the same people. So those people who know God, those people who have insight, those people who are wise, that's referring to the church. If you look at those chapters, there's some quite nasty stuff that's going to happen to us as well. But let's focus on the positive today. Okay? That's us. He's talking about us, the church, the body of Christ, those who know God, those who have understanding, those who have insight. We will display strength and take action. We will lead many to righteousness. So I think those verses go together with the one that we read from Philippians. Shining like stars in a crooked and perverse generation. Every civilization thinks that the generation they're living in is crooked and perverse. You can go back to writings from 2,000, 3,000 years ago and they're saying, oh, young people today, wasn't like that in my day. But I think there's certainly, we can just look around at the kind of world we live in and think, well, it is pretty crooked and perverse, isn't it? So how can we shine like stars? The passage that we read from Philippians talks quite a lot about how we can shine like stars by being like Jesus, by having the same attitude as Jesus, by not quarrelling and grumbling, doing everything with goodwill. The church in Philippi, it was a small church in a Roman colony. I imagine life wasn't very easy for them. And the book of Philippians talks quite a lot about how to conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy of Christ. So they were obviously having a bit of difficulty in how to live a Christian life within this Roman colony. It was too small even to have a synagogue, so the Jews met on the riverbank. So you imagine they were fairly outnumbered by Roman citizens who would be following Roman gods, Roman ways of life. So I wanted to think then about stars. What do stars do? What are stars? If any of you have read C.S. Lewis's Narnia books, in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, they meet a star. And one of the children says, well, in our world, stars are balls of flaming gas. And Aslan says, even in your world, that is only what a star is made of. It's not what a star is. And I thought I quite liked this idea. That yes, a star is a ball of flaming gas, but it's much more than that because stars have significance for us. We don't just look at them and think, oh, it's a ball of flaming gas. We look at it and think, wow, that's just beautiful. That's amazing. Stars would have helped people to navigate, not just on the sea, but in the desert. We know that when the Israelites were roaming around the desert being lost, God was guiding them with a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke. But they would, I'm sure they would also have used the stars. They were a nomadic people. They would have looked at the stars. The stars would have told them where they were and how to get to where they needed to be. The wise men used the star to find where Jesus was going to be born. Sailors for a generation used the stars in order to navigate. Stars also act as a calendar. Like I said, they're in the same positions across the sky at the same time of year every year. So they act as a calendar. People could look at the stars and say, okay, it's time to plant. It's time to reap. The river's going to flood. Because they kept records, they looked at things, they knew what was going to happen at particular times because of the stars in the sky. In a lot of cultures, stars became a way of divining the future, a way of fortune-telling, astrology. They gave rise to myths and legends which became religions. I found it really interesting that that didn't happen in the Hebrew culture. They didn't need it. They already had a relationship with God. They had a God that spoke to them directly and through the prophets. They didn't need to look at the stars to try and find out what was going to happen. They already knew because God had told them. I think in the small amount of research that I did, it was the only ancient civilization that did not have some kind of mystical, astrological significance to do with stars. I think that's really interesting. They didn't need them. So stars in the Bible, what are the references to stars in the Bible that can help us to work out how we can shine like stars? Well, the first mention is right back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. It talks about God has made the sun and the moon, and then he makes other lights in the sky for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. That's what God put the stars there for. So the sun and the moon provide us with light, and then there are other lights for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. So God knew when he put the stars in place that there were going to be a way to help people. You know, what season is it? What's going to happen now? What's coming up next? They could keep track of the years because they could look at the sky and say, well, it must have been a year ago because the sky was in the same, the stars were in the same place. In the Psalms and in the book of Job and in other places, the stars are a reminder of God's power and glory. The passage I read at the beginning from Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. In the book of Job, when God is talking to Job, and he says, did you put the stars in place? Did you name the constellations? No, God did. It's a reminder. So stars are a reminder of God's glory and power. They're a reminder of his promises. Genesis 15, Genesis 22, and Genesis 26 have God saying to Abraham, I look at the stars, go outside and look at the stars. That's how many descendants I'm going to give you. Look at the stars and count them if you can. So the stars are a reminder of God's promises to us. And they're a reminder of his specific promise about Jesus. Jesus is referred to as a star. In Numbers chapter 24, it talks about a star shall come forth from Jacob. And then in Revelation, I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. So the stars are also a specific reminder about Jesus. So, how can we shine like stars? Last week, Chris talked about truth and belief. You need both truth and belief. The truth has no impact until we believe it. Well, I'm going to say today, we need more than just belief. Or we need to think about what belief really means. Is it enough just to say, I believe? The creed, that's the Apostles' Creed, not the Assassin's Creed. The creed we talk about, this is what I believe. I believe in God the Father, maker of the universe. I believe in Christ, his son, born by virgin birth. We don't tend to say it, but we probably all know it because we sing the song. The word creed comes from credo, to believe. But actually, the literal translation of that word is, I give my heart to. I give my heart to. So when we say, I believe, we're saying, I give my heart to. Lots of people believe that Jesus existed, but they haven't given their heart to him. When we give our heart to somebody, we're doing more than just saying, oh, yes, I believe it. We become committed to it. When we're committed, we need to be taking action. Faith is what transforms us. Belief, commitment, faith. In the story about the sheep and the goats, it's not a story about people who believe versus people who don't believe. They're not being divided up as to whether they believe or whether they don't believe. They're being divided up as to whether they acted on that belief. Whatever you did for the least of those, you did for me. Whatever you did not do, you did not do for me. It's not about those who believe versus those who don't believe. It's about those who acted on that belief, those whose faith was translated into works and deeds. We know from the book of James, for instance, that faith and deeds are important. Faith and action. Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. In Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about a light under a bushel. Nobody lights a light and hides it. Okay? They let the light shine out. Now that phrase, don't hide your light under a bushel, has become, people now take it to mean if you're good at something, don't hide it. That's not what it means at all. It means we are the light and we need to be seen. Let your light shine. What for? That people can say, oh, look at Barry, isn't he wonderful? No, so that our good works can glorify God. Let your light shine that your good works can be seen and glorify your Father in heaven. So we don't shine like stars by turning up here every Sunday morning. We shine like stars by going out into the community and doing good works. We're not saved by doing good works, but we're saved in order to do good works. The New Testament is stuffed full of verses telling us to go and do good works, to be compassionate to people, to look after people, to care for others, to do good things for other people. Because by doing that, we are shining. We are shining the light of Christ into people's lives. That's what it means by shining like stars. Working out your salvation, like it says in the passage that we read. So, to summarise, how can we shine like stars? The reminder of what stars do. Stars encourage people to look up. I challenge you to go out on a clear night and not look up and see those stars. So we need to be encouraging people to look up. Lift their eyes from their kind of constrained everyday lives and look at the bigger picture and see where God might be. Stars help people to work out where they are and how to get to where they need to be. Can we do that in people's lives? Can we help people to see where they need to be and to help them in their journey towards God? Stars show people God's glory and power. How can we do that in people's lives, in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces? How can we show people God's glory and power? And stars remind people about God's promises. God has made lots and lots of promises to us in his word, and he's made one amazing promise through Jesus. We are shining like stars. How can we remind people about those promises of God? So shining like stars, it's not just about saying the right things. It's not just about doing the right things. It's not just about turning up to church, going to Bible study, reading your Bible. Shining like stars is about helping people to find their way to God. Like it says in those verses in Daniel, those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. We are the people with insight. God has blessed us. God has revealed himself to us. How can we help to bring understanding to those who are around us? Won't be easy. Not everybody wants to hear. And yet that's what we're called to do, to bring many to Jesus. So as we go out this week, hopefully there'll be some nice clear nights. You can have a look at the stars. If you're on Instagram, I'd recommend that you follow Major Tim Peake on Instagram. He posts some amazing, really awe-inspiring stuff that he's seeing from the ISS at the moment. Remind yourself of what an awesome God that we have, and then think about your own particular situation, your own particular front line, as some of us have been doing the front line groups. How can you shine like a star where you are this week?